Now we talk about the next aspect of the second process called tools. One step down in your personal knowledge system are the tools you use to organize your thinking and understand your world. Your stance guides what tools you select and accumulate. Tools range from formal theories, there's a way the world operates, okay, some theories you form for yourself, ABCD, it should be like this only. I take a stance that discipline is everything in life. So I form a formal theory saying that when somebody walks in, he has to say good morning to me, sit down only when offered the seat. These are the formal theories from where I can take, my tools will be this formal theory. So if somebody doesn't do it, I become intolerant. And that shows in my experience. In walks a youngster, if my stance is discipline is everything in life, and the tool is what? It says that if people are disciplined, they will be sitting only when they're offered a seat. And a youngster walks in, he just sits down. I scream at him. I said, are you not disciplined enough? Now, my screaming, the youngster is taken aback because that's not his stance. So what happens? I start getting very self-righteous about my stance. I said, these days youngsters are all horrible. All because I took a stance that discipline is everything. And the way I put my tools into action, that is again an important thing. So my stance guides what tools I select and accumulate. Tools range from formal theories to established processes to rules of thumb. I run my life with my rules, which I have created. I may appear to be following social rules, but actually I run it with my rules, my way. I need to recognize this part of my tools. My tools are the coping skills, are the coping methods to make my stance give me experiences. Right? Tools, Young's tools set is devoid of any formal theories. Whatever Bob Young used as an example, there was no formal theory. He just went along with his experiential thing. Each one has his own way of doing it. The fact that Young's tools is devoid of any formal theories is no surprise, given his view that learning trumps intellect. Because he believed that qualifications, intellectual upheavals are not so important as learning. So learning was the emphasis. And learning is not always structured. It can come in different forms. He felt that thesis, high IQ guys stumble when they apply the sophisticated formal theories to the world. His view was, all these high IQ guys coming from very good universities, toppers and all, they come with formal theories, but they cannot be practical in terms of giving solutions and coming out with problem solving. Right? The tools he uses derive directly from his stance. The first is his strong liking for developing products and services by following a process of prototyping and refining. It's a learning process for him. He then tested them in the marketplace. Again, a learning process. It's all adventurous learning, which he was very well tuned to based on his stance. It may not work for someone else, but it worked for him. So you need to know what stance you're taking so that you put your integrative thinking into action. This tendency follows from his view of himself as a patient learner, and the world is a complicated place that no one can figure out perfectly on the first pass. He had the patience, he had the motivation, and he told himself that there are multiple ways of doing things, so he went on experimenting. Experimenting is equal to learning for him. That was the value system from where he operated. That was his stance. Consult widely before making decisions, quote unquote. But Young did not necessarily follow the advice he received. The smart guys thought his decision to distribute Linux over the internet was the stupidest thing. That was what the structured thinkers thought. But he continued. Then Young uses rule of thumb, one related to employee motivation. Coming to motivation, he sacked 5 of his 7 subordinates he inherited because they didn't like to come to work in the morning. They were not motivated, he argued. His idea of motivation was, if you're truly motivated, you'll come to work on time. That is his stance. Right or wrong is not the question. It works for him because that's the way he can exercise his leadership over whatever he does. A majority of us will feel that it is very harsh. It is harsh from the viewpoint of our viewpoint when we look at it. But as far as his end goals are concerned, that's a stance that made him think that people coming late are not motivated. He must have given them warnings, but he sacked them, five out of the seven of them. Okay? And that is where he uses his own rule of thumb. Second rule concerned asset values and wisdom to or lack thereof of crowds. When any asset is dismissed by others, it should be bought. Contrarian approach. Like we see in the stock market, you know, when the market falls down, buy the scripts. When it goes up, sell it. So when somebody is knocking off something, it may be useless for that person from his stance. But if you have a stance which is different, it may be useful for you. For example, when people go to buy antiques, very old stuff, the very fact that the name is antique gives it a value. And then people go to buy it, the person who's an antique buyer, art dealer, will always look at it from a very high valuable point of view. For the person who's dumping it, it is junk. So when an asset is dismissed by others, it should be bought. A final rule of the thumb concerns personal happiness. He said, you got to do what makes you happy. He used this to quit a high paying job he hated before having an alternative lined up. His way of looking at it is, you have to enjoy your work. Even I believe practically throughout that if you don't enjoy what you do, you'll never be able to add value to yourself. And when you don't add value to yourself, you will not be able to add value to the world around you. So one must enjoy doing what he or she is doing. This is his stance, which to an appreciable extent even I follow, but everybody need not follow. It's their own stance, right? His ulcers disappeared forever. He became less stressful and things were much better for him. Tools. Theories, processes and rules of thumb are efficiency vehicles. Without a conceptual toolkit, you will have to tackle every problem from a scratch. You need to have some framework, some steps. Theories, processes and rules of thumb make it possible to recognize and categorize problems and apply tools to them that in the past proved effective in similar circumstances. Something which is proven is put in a structured form and offered so that others can also replicate it as and when they are stuck up. If you had closed some windows and quit the photo program, you know your browser would not have crashed. Just to take an example. Now we talk about a third attribute called experience, which is an outcome, an action-oriented outcome, an outcome of an action for that matter, arising out of stands and tools. Your experiences form your most practical and tangible knowledge. Experience is the best teacher. If I think I'm smart and I've used some tools to do some action, the results of the action and the action itself will prove or disprove whether I'm really smart. If it disproves that I'm really smart, then I need to relook into the tools, go back and relook into my stance. I must tell myself I'm not as smart as I thought I'm to be. So this requires a back and forth approach. Stance, tools, experience, experience, tools, stance. Constantly when you go up and down, back and forth, you'll find that your stance starts multiplying. You start getting multiple stances. You don't look at world from a linear angle, one single stance or two stances. You look at it from multiple stances, right? The experiences you accumulate are the product of your stance and tools, which guide you towards some, and away from others. Okay. Now, the two types of things given here, two examples are given. A stance and tools for a business executive. As a business executive, his stance is as a great model builder and tools are quantitative models. From analysis of survey results in the office, his experience. A business executive takes a stance which gives him the tools of quantifying his work. Now, whatever he is getting as an experience, as an output, from there we can make out what his stance and tools are. Okay? For a people person, HR person, stance is getting customers open up, tools are the in-home visits. An HR person has to be human interactive. He has to take the stance. The tools are what? The number of in-home visits. In-home visits meaning how many times they be in touch with the people, employee engagement. Now these are the two things they do. So this is reflected in an action of talking to the customers. If more customers are being talked to or more employees are being talked to for an HR person, then we can say that his stance and his tools are in line with what he wants. If the stance is that I'm going to talk only to certain people, then the tools will be, I will selectively go for these in-home visits, and which will result in limited talking to customers or limited talking to employees. So depending upon what I take as a stance and a tools, the experiences will tell us where we are. If, for example, majority of you seem to like this whole session, then I work backwards and say, what are the tools I used and what are the stands I took? If majority of you do not like it, then I have to go back and ask myself a question, what are the stands and the tools which I employed? It's a feedback. The experiences are the ultimate feedback to tell you what was your stance and what were the tools you employed. Bob Young accumulated a deep and a rich body of experience centered around developing and marketing software products. His stance and tools guided him to acquire experience by putting products into the market, gaining feedback from users, improving the product, gaining more feedback, further improving the product, continuing the cycle throughout the product's lifetime. A series of processes which was a part of his stance and tools. Those experiences were consistent with his stance. I repeat, his stance. Underline it. As a learner whose tools are derived from practical experiences rather than formal theories. He may not have gone through all these steps had he not had a stance wherein he would rather go by experience than formal theories. Had he been a theoretical person relying on formal theories, he would have gone along and done some desk research and had a different result coming up. Both of them may produce results. A person who's following formal theories would also produce results as an integrative thinker as much as a person who's emphasizing on experience. In this case, his emphasis was on experience. So he devised those steps, all these steps, putting products into the market, gaining feedback from users, everything is experiential feedback. Right? Now here we talk about what experience does to you and me. Constantly you're into an experience with people, constantly you're dealing with people, with your stance and your tools. Experience hones or sharpens sensitivity and skills, two important aspects of our growth. Sensitivity means it is a capacity to make distinctions between conditions that are similar but not exactly the same. I am selling this unit to a number of people. Two customers are buying it. Customer A is buying it at a price X. Customer Y is also buying at a price X. There might be an assumption that both of them are the same in terms of the needs. Now, when we say sensitivity, the use to which A puts it may not be the same use to which B puts it. Of course, the use of this is common, but then even in this use, I may use a pointer, but somebody else may not use a pointer. He may only click the slides forward. Sensitivity means understanding what looks similar. Two things are looking similar. They are really not similar. There is a distinction between A and B. That is sensitivity. So the more and more you go through experience, the more and more you see how two or more things that look similar are not similar, they are different. It is experience that tells you the difference between A and B, although they look similar. Sensitivity. Next is skill. Skill is a capacity to carry out an activity so as to consistently produce desired result. All of us will agree the more and more you are experienced, you develop a skill, the capability, the capacity to make a particular action become absolutely competent so that it can be done anytime you want. So suffice it to say, the more and more experience I have, the more and more sensitivity will develop and more skill will develop. Alternatively, if I want to develop sensitivity and skills which are really sharp, then I need to have more and more experience. To get more and more experience, I need to have more and more tools. To have more and more tools, I need to have multiple stances. If I have various ways of looking at customer service, not only one way, and then these each stance, S1, S2, S3, S4, S5 stances, will give you number of tools T1, T2, T3, T4, T5, T6. And they in turn will give you multiple experiences E1, E2, E3, E4, E5, E6. Now all those things are so rich. When you go through this entire process, I'm sure all of you will agree, this and this will automatically happen. What we are discussing in this chapter is the way our stance and tools create experiences. So once I know how this is happening, then I need to know how to use it for developing integrative thinking. By now, as you're listening to me, I'm sure most of you would have more or less understood that you're taking single stance or double stance in your life, not multiple stances. And so you see the world in a very narrow perspective, because of which your experiences are also limited and they may bring about stuck situations in life. It's possible, right? So taking it further, skills and sensitivities tend to grow and deepen in the concept as it progresses. As you repeat a task, you are inclined to build what you learned from the previous repetition into iteration or repetition until you develop a consistent technique. All of us know about it, it's very common. An improved technique sharpens your skill, making you faster and more accurate. And as you repeat a task, you learn to make finer and finer distinction between levels of quality so that an experienced chef can tell almost by instinct when the steak is blur or when it is rare. Steak is a food item, and this food item would be cooked in a certain fashion wherein the fineness of the cooking can be felt only by a chef who's experienced. Anything that you do with an experience, with sensitivity and skills, you come to know this different from the other, right? The dynamics of your personal knowledge system is what we're discussing now. And personal knowledge develops as a system because its three elements influence one another. My personal knowledge system has to become enriched. It should have a richness. Richness means what? Lots of experiences coming from lots of stances and tools. Stance guides tool acquisition, which in turn guides experience accumulation. The flow, however, is not one way. Experience informs the acquisition of more tools, and some tools become shortcuts to accomplish results. Experience may guide you to seek new tools from an outside source. You leave whatever you are doing and return to the school more and different with different degrees. Some examples have been given. What exactly we are saying is, the more and more exploration you do, the more and more stance you can look into, right? As experience leads us to acquire new tools, we add depth and clarity to our stance. If our engineer enters business schools and acquires an MBA, she modifies her view of her place in the world, her stance. So that extra input called an MBA will make her look at the world differently. You people who are listening to me right now are doing this management course. So this management course has definitely made you look at life from a different stance, not only one stance, but from multiple stance. One way of adding to your multiple stance. For Young, pattern recognition becomes a tool that was central to his stance. He was a sales guy who experience enabled him to solve problems by recognizing their characteristics patterns, including the decision to give away Red Hat software over the internet. Patterns means some types of behaviors that keep repeating. As a seasoned sales guy, he had the experience to determine the patterns, how they're happening, and based on that, he could predict what could happen next. So that helped him in taking his decisions. Now here we are talking about a flowchart. Stance, tools and experience. Stance guides tools. Tools guides experience. And experience, if it has to become multiple, go back to the tools and the stance. Who I am in the world and what I'm trying to accomplish is the stance. It informs with what tools and models do I organize my thinking and understand the world, which further informs with what experience can I build my repertoire of sensitivities and skills. The keywords: sensitivities and skills, experience, tools and models, who I am and what I am trying to accomplish. If you take these keywords, these key expressions, you will find that you can understand how to go about becoming an integrative thinker. First and foremost, you will recognize that this is where I am stuck up. And then you'll know how to come out unstuck, right? The previous slide has clearly rendered in graphic manner the dynamics of a personal knowledge system. STANS guides the acquisition of tools, and STANS and tools shape experiences, which in turn inform tools, which in turn inform STANS. This circular relationship between STANS and tools was famously noted by the communication theorist and philosopher Marshall McLuhan. Please read about him. He spoke about it in one of his publications. Marshall McLuhan argued that we shape our tools, and afterwards our tools shape us. I think that the world is not good, STANS. Then my thinking process becomes that way. After some time, the thinking process makes me further compound my STANS. Tools and STANS are interrelated with each other. Each tries to influence the other. Tools, which is coming out of my STANS, they start compounding it. It's like what we call the Frankenstein monster. The person who creates a monster eats him up. So my tools, which is coming from my STANS, ultimately gulps me up. Right? To follow McLuhan's thoughts to the end, we shape our tools, and through experience, practice, refine and incorporate them into a STANS. In due course, they shape us. The economist Dr. Sumantra Ghoshal, late Dr. Sumantra Ghoshal, in his critical review of MBA education, argued that the economic and game theory tools that are staples of business school curriculum teach students to play zero sum games, in other words, to see only trade-offs in the universe of possibilities. In short, to put it in simple words, Dr. Sumantra Ghoshal was a very celebrated professor with multiple doctorates under his hat. But one of the things which he was emphasizing was theories alone do not matter. Theories alone do not matter. What really matters is, at the end of the day, how much you are able to think and make things happen in the real world of problem solving and decision making. Exposure to different tools and experiences, he maintained, would have shaped their stances much differently, producing executives who were not only capable of playing and winning positive sum games, but able to recognize them in the first place. When you become a theoretician, you don't recognize a real problem that is taking place in action. You may put everything in a theoretical framework. You are not sensitive to that. You don't have the skills for that. So the important thing is that it's important to have theory at the same time, learn to practice it through an experience which is coming from multiple stances. So now we discuss in this slide beneficial and detrimental spirals. Beneficial and detrimental spirals. Personal knowledge systems are highly path dependent. Now personal knowledge, it simply means that I develop my personal knowledge system, which can be taking me towards success, or it may pull me away from success. It simply means that whatever stance I take in life, whatever tools I employ, whatever experiences I have, it could be either detrimental, which is a negative thing going down, or it could be beneficial, which is a positive thing going up. That's a theme which we are discussing right now. So when a person starts in a given direction, that direction is likely to be reinforced and amplified, not diminished or altered. It gets compounded, it gets added up. This can happen for good or bad. That is, the spiral can be beneficial or detrimental. So whatever I do, I keep on repeating it. That repetition will either take me towards a benefit, or it may take me towards something which is not a benefit. This is a normal thing which all of us know about experience. Operating at their best, the three elements of the personal knowledge system will reinforce each other to produce an ever-increasing capacity for integrative thinking. So depending upon where I start and how I keep my stance, I could be either getting into what is called as a beneficial spiral, or it could be getting into a detrimental spiral. Imagine and visualize a beneficial spiral which is going upwards. You know, a spiral is one which has got the highest diameter at the bottom, and as it goes higher and higher, the diameter keeps decreasing. And right at the top, it will become a straight line vertically up, beneficial spiral. Detrimental spiral will be just the opposite. It will be, again, large spiral, and slowly it will go down and down. Visualize these two type of scenarios. Now, what happens is, it's called as a spiral because as the experiences progress, you will find that the time required for doing any task decreases because you have got more and more skilled. Initially, when you do something, the lowermost circle, which is equal to the time taken for doing the task is highest. And as I keep doing it, it keeps becoming lesser and lesser and lesser. So when you go up, when you mastered something, it doesn't take much time for you to take up the task and finish it off, that too excellently. So taking it further, by the same token, those stands, tools and experience can conspire to trap perfectly intelligent and capable people in a world where problems seem to be too hard to solve and mere survival is the only goal. It's important that one has to adopt a stance, a tool, and get an experience which is taking you towards a beneficial spiral. It is possible, it is quite possible that you are doing something which is detrimental, you realize it. You come to know as an awareness. Now, when you come to know as an awareness, what should the experience tell you? Go backwards to the tools, go backwards to the stance. So learn to change your stance, learn to take a different stance, and you can convert a detrimental spiral into a beneficial spiral. This is something which is possible. A narrow and a defensive stance will lead to acquisition of extremely limited tools and extremely limited experiences. If I have very narrow type of a stance, one single stance or just two stance, I don't deviate from there, I'm very rigid about it, what could happen is I'll have everything limited. It could be very defensive. Defensive meaning my thing is the right thing, other things do not exist. So the person is limiting himself to choices and also to getting into some other areas of working, right? But let's understand Michael Leachin's story. It shows how a different stance can set a person on a different path. Although Leachin grew up in a mixed race child from the mean streets of Port Antonio, he saw the world as full of opportunities and himself as an achiever motivated to succeed. He studied in colleges in the US, acquired tools so that further expanded his sense of life's possibilities. He gained experience in investment management and continuously sharpened his sensitivities and skills. This experience further strengthened his stance as someone capable of great success. What he did was, he came from an apparently bad background, bad inverted commas. He came from a background that was not so supportive, which did not create conducive atmosphere for him to become a natural integrative thinker. But what did he do? He made it a point to look at the world. He took a stance that the world is full of opportunities and himself as an achiever motivated to succeed. When he took that stance, automatically his thoughts, his other actions, everything started taking him towards the possibilities of a good success. And that's where he was. So the derivation from this is, no matter where you are planted, no matter what is happening to you right now, the moment you change your stance, you are in the path of a beneficial spiral. One needs to recognize, on what path are we? Are we into beneficial spirals or are we into detrimental spirals? A detrimental spiral is, you can recognize when you realize that whatever you do, it's going away from the goal or away from your whatever you want to achieve. So once you get that feedback about your actions, your thoughts and your stance, then you need to correct yourself by taking different stance, right? So taking it further, beneficial or detrimental, neither spiral is foreordained. Foreordained means it is already known to you by the way you stand, take a stance. The moment you take a stance, and the stance is only single-sided, only one-dimensional, not multiple stances, then it's already clear what sort of a spiral you're going to get. It could be beneficial or detrimental. It's foreordained, right? Your personal knowledge system, your stance, your tools, experiences is under your control, unlike your height, IQ or DNA. This is something which you can change because you have your own thinking process. You have your own intellect, right? As long as you can change your stance, you can change your tools and experiences you use to develop your thinking capacity, especially your integrative thinking capacity. In the remaining three sessions of the chapters, we'll address stance, tools and experiences respectively. The hope is that these three sessions will reinforce positive spiral in your personal knowledge system, propelling continuous improvement in your own integrative thinking capacity. Now with this, we conclude the session, but not without the summary. So wrapping it up, the tripod supporting your personal knowledge system is termed stance, tools and experiences. Stance reflects what you are and what you are after in this world. Not to do anything until you fully understand what was Jung's stance. Your stance develops your tools that allows you to knock the world into shape. You need this kit of conceptual tools, otherwise every time you will have to start from scratch. Experiences you accumulate are the product of your stance and tools, which guide you towards some experiences and away from others. Experiences hone or sharpen sensitivities and skills. The three elements reinforce dynamics of your personal knowledge system. And with this, my dear friends, I conclude this session. Thank you very much. Happy reading, happy viewing.